Father, with the name of love above all others, and every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, happy to be with you again in this great weekend in May. I hope you're all enjoying the spring weather. Isn't spring such a gift? Boy, I tell you, my wife and I moved back to Wisconsin last summer, and we just have seen the springtime birds come floating in. Most recently, we were blessed with the rose-breasted grosbeaks who have come back. And I tell you, just being out and closer to creation and taking note of the budding leaves and the new birds and that sort of thing just gives your heart a lift, especially in the midst of this Easter season. Kind of just a wonderful gift, isn't it, that Easter always coincides with spring, and I know that that's intentional, but at the same time, we do get this sense of new life surrounding us, and I hope that you're still celebrating Easter in some way, shape, or form. I hope you haven't been swallowed up by all the busyness that spring brings with it, especially those of you who have kids, and kids are looking forward to the end of the school year, probably getting a little squirrely right now. As we're coming in on the close of May and beginning of June, and as summer vacation is starting to loom large, and we've got the nice weather to go along with it. I hope that you're able to factor in the new life and the gift of new life in Easter going on. And one great way of doing that is remembering the liturgical calendar, right? Keeping track of where are we in terms of the masses that we're hearing, the readings that are going on, and specifically, of course, the saints that we're celebrating. Now, Friday, May 10th, we actually celebrate St. Damian of Molokai. Are you familiar with St. Damian? What a wonderful example of a saint. Now, if you're not familiar, just briefly, of course, he was a Belgian priest who basically they were looking for people to send to minister to people that were who had leprosy, that were part of a leprosy colony in Hawaii, in the island of Molokai. And he volunteered. He gave his own he gave his yes, and he said, yep, send me. And they sent him, and he was, the initial plan was that he was to rotate out, but once he got there, he understood that this was indeed a long-term call for him, and so he did not leave. He stayed where he was, ministering to people with leprosy, day and night, night and day, not just with the sacraments, although, of course, that's fundamentally important, but also with his construction skills. He ended up obtaining the materials for and building an entire new chapel, as well as helping out with a lot of the buildings that were there, that were present on the island of Molokai, or that became present when he got there. He built homes for the those with leprosy as well, and he was ministering in all these ways until finally, of course, he himself contracted the disease. And his health started deteriorating over time. And of course, you can find pictures of him on the internet, some famous ones too, of after he had contracted leprosy and after it had started to really take its toll on him. So he's a great model for sacrifice. Well, what does this have to do with Easter? Well, good question. But even in the midst of tremendous suffering and sacrifice, in the midst of giving oneself for the good of others, there is the opportunity to enter into new life. And that's why those Lenten disciplines that we partake in, those disciplines of prayer and fasting and almsgiving, they're always good to keep going throughout the year, right? Yeah, you can relax some of the things that you gave up for Lent. You don't have to keep doing that. You can bring those back in as kind of a way of celebrating and realizing that Jesus has conquered all and that he lives now. But there's also this invitation to continue on in terms of living that life of detachment, of prayer and fasting and almsgiving, of giving oneself for the good of the other. Because that, friends, is what love, true love, really is, right? It's giving of oneself for the good of the other. True love always involves sacrifice. There is just no way of getting around that. True love always involves sacrifice. And seeing that that's the case, St. Damian's a great example to follow there. One more thing I'd say about St. Damian is that, you know, he also was not without his share of frustrations, as you might imagine. Sometimes we get this picture of the saints that they're kind of levitating all the time and they're, you know, far removed from the ordeals of everyday life. Well, man, having done some reading on St. Damian, he is not one of those. And in fact, I doubt many, if any, of the saints are really realistically not aware of the struggles of life. So he was, St. Damian, this is, was campaigning for help so many ways and so many different times for people to come, especially he wanted some sisters to come and help him minister to those with leprosy on Molokai. And time and time and time again, he was refused. And he got frustrated. He's known as a frustrated saint. And you could hear some of his angst as you're reading some of his writings and that sort of thing. You can hear how frustrated he is that people are not responding to the call. Now, my question to you is, where is that true in your life? Where are you feeling like, I'm so frustrated. Why don't people just wake up and help me out or wake up and get their acts together and do this, that, and the other thing? I have those areas in my life. I think everybody does. Perseverance is one of the things we're called to, of course, but also a life of recognizing that ultimately it's the Lord who's in control. That doesn't mean we never can get angry with the Lord. I think the relationships that we have, we always, even those who are closest to us, we tend to get angry with. But as we express that, we must do so in all humility and knowing that the Lord does indeed know best. And I'd just love to have St. Damian himself sitting next to me here in the studio to talk a little bit about what some of the things that he encountered in that frustration, and that he can now give us that perspective of what is best. So St. Damian of Molokai, that's the saint of this weekend and of the day today on Friday, May 10th. And he's a great example for all of us. Follow that liturgical calendar. Keep the spirit of new life alive during this Easter season. And we've got a great show today. I'm so excited. In just a moment, we're going to be speaking with Father Joseph Taphorn, the rector and vice president of St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. And then after that, we're going to have interviews with all five of the ordinands who are being ordained for our archdiocese, the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, of course. That is Deacon Joseph Gifford, Deacon Andrew Zipp, Deacon Joseph Conley, and Deacon Louis Floater, and Deacon Seraphim, who's part of the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. So we're going to be talking with all five of them. So a lot of great things to figure out and find out here on the show today. So why don't we, as always, pause here at the top of the show, committing the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Lady, as we pray together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, here's where we would usually go to break, but instead, we're going to go to Father Joseph Taphorn, again, the rector and vice president of St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. He is joining us on the phone, and let's say good morning. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning, Patrick.
It's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us again here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, so we're focusing the show today on ordination, which is coming up in just a couple weeks' time here, and it's I'm just wondering, well, first of all, can you give us a sense around the seminary this time of year? I was already talking in my opening monologue. We were talking a little bit about students, young students, of course, are getting probably a little squirrely about this time of year. Are you getting some of that over at the seminary?
Oh, a little bit. I think there's a little bit of, I would like to say spring fever, but it's been seems like a little cold for that. But, you know, it's the end of the year and finals are coming and it's kind of that final push. So, you know, I think people are eager to complete the year, but there's certainly an air of excitement, especially around ordination, as we're talking about today. And, you know, really for these men who have been studying and praying and working diligently, receiving formation and counsel and direction, they're just excited to get out and serve. And, you know, I think there's the natural sadness, probably, maybe that's my word, you know, I mean, time of transition, leaving behind something, but just such eagerness to move out into the world and into priesthood, and it's really exciting.
Right. Yeah, and you yourself have recently left something behind as you're fairly new to our seminary and that sort of thing. What's it like for you in terms of, maybe you haven't known these men very long, but yet ordination looms closely now. What are you experiencing personally?
You know, I'm looking forward to it. I would say I kind of don't want to sort of, I'm not sure what I'll experience. You know, I've heard rectors say, other rectors have told me this, that there's nothing better. Like this is like the moment, right? This is kind of when all the stress and the effort and the work and the labors and everything you kind of go through, that there's just nothing better than this, you know? So I kind of don't want to, you know, sort of have an expectation, but I'm certainly looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm always edified, really by the spirit of the men here and, their zeal and their desire to serve and, really commit themselves to holiness of life and work hard at that. So I can just imagine that it'll be a beautiful moment and something I'm very much looking forward to.
Great. If you can look back a little bit on your own ordination, Father, and just thinking about that, and if you, in your current state, could look back on the young deacon, Joseph Taphorn, mm-hmm. who's just about ready to get ordained, and you had a word of advice to give to him, what would you say to yourself back then?
I guess I would encourage, you know, looking back, maybe just kind of be intentional and kind of savor the whole thing. I think that there's a certain, it's kind of hard sometimes almost to be fully present to the experience because it's almost kind of overload. You know, you've got the big liturgy and you have family present and the archbishop and brother priests, and it's just so kind of overwhelming that I guess just to be intentional to stay with the Lord, you know, like the most important thing is happening in your soul and almost sort of in a sense unperceptible way through the gestures and through the signs, you know, but it's really an encounter with the Lord where he changes you definitively. And I guess I would just encourage the men to, as best they can, to kind of focus on that maybe, you know. Again, there's so many sights and sounds and things to think about and worry about. And will I mess up or do I do this right or what's the next part of the liturgy? You know, I mean, they're just kind of natural nerves, but to really, I guess, encourage them just to, wow, just be present to the moment, you know, that the bishop is laying hands on you and praying over you, and in this moment, Jesus will change you forever, and to just receive that as a gift.
Right, and what a tremendous gift it is, and obviously we're grateful for your yes and the yes of all five of the guys that we're going to be speaking with today. So, and, you know, many of our listeners here are part of the lay faithful, of course, and I'm imagining that once these young men are ordained, that you know, everything is new for a while. I would imagine there's a honeymoon phase, so to speak, but before too long, I would imagine the reality of the newness of the priesthood kind of sinks in and settles in. What can we as lay faithful do to help support our newly ordained priests?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think the obvious thing, of course, is prayer, you know, intercede and pray for priests. And, you know, there are, every vocation is challenging. I think there's unique challenges to priesthood. And so we just know we just always need that support and that love of the faithful. And then I would say, I think, you know, the longer I live and the more I do things, I realize just sort of human relationships are just sort of key to everything, right? It's through other people that oftentimes grace is mediated, right? And so, you know, a kind word, a little note of support, again, maybe not just praying for your priest, but letting him know that you're praying for them, you know, and however way you do that. Just to kind of, you know, it doesn't really work unless we're in relationship with each other. So the priest is supposed to lead and serve the people and lay down his life for the sheep. But you know, there needs to be sheep, right, who are willing to kind of love the shepherd even amidst his flaws, and their flaws, and those flaws come out, right, in stressful days and difficult moments, and sometimes there's tense meetings and disagreements, and that's just all part of life. And so I think just to recognize that priests are human, and they just need kind of love and support like everybody else does, you know, not that they maybe are so special and different that you have to kind of approach them with kid gloves, but again, just in a natural, normal way to be friendly and kind and pray for and support. I think everybody needs that.
Well, when I think of all the things that I see priests doing, priests who are in the parish to some, you know, in some capacity, whether as pastor, as parochial vicar or something like that, I'm just astounded about how, you know, obviously experience comes over time, but I'm astounded at how many different hats that a priest is called to play, called to wear, I should say, or how many roles he's called to play, right? But I guess I'm I'm resonating with what you're saying, that yes, there can be, he's still a human being and there are still limitations there. And it's not necessarily fair to expect to hold to a standard of nigh on perfection in all these different roles. Am I right?
That's right. That's right. And so I think the wise priest, you know, too, as he gets established in the parish, kind of knows, well, who are those parishioners I can really turn to for help and support? And, you know, I've done a lot of administration in my life, and I always say, you know, one thing you should do if you're running something is hire people smarter than you, you know, or get those people on committees who really are bright and get it and can partner with you and really, you know, the sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, right? Mm-hmm. So together, you know, with the right team in place, that's just a great way for a parish to thrive and work together and, you know, pull a lot of different talents together. So it has to be ordered, and the pastor or the associate possibly, if been delegated, needs to order those things and sometimes make hard decisions. But no one wants to go at this alone. I mean, I think that, you know, we really talk to the men a lot about the expression, you're not going to be a lone ranger. You know, the lone ranger priest is a guy who's probably lonely, unhappy, and miserable, and his people are too. But we really want priests who can engage the faithful and help discern those gifts. And that life is a lot easier when you have smart people who are faithful. And there's so many in the lay vocation who are just eager to serve. I think that's really kind of the vision, you know, is tap into those gifts. And then life isn't lonely, and you're not doing this alone. And God is glorified, and we can move the kingdom forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be in terms of partnership. There's no question about that. Father, if you would, take us into now, of course, you and your fellow colleagues there at the St. Paul Seminary have spent many years forming these men, forming them both in spiritually, academically, educationally, you know, theologically, psychologically, all these different ways that you're forming them to be priests. But then once ordained, typically they head into a placement where that's 1 to 2 years long, where they're serving in the capacity and under a different priest, a brother priest, in a parochial, as a parochial vicar or something of that sort. Mm-hmm. What's going on during that time? Can you just unpack that a little bit? What do you expect them to be learning during their time as a parochial vicar?
You know, maybe whatever image you want, the fire hose image, you know, it's just like everything is new. The first wedding, the first funeral, the first baptism, maybe they've done baptisms as a deacon, but, you know, first year teaching in a school or visiting religious education or running RCIA. And so everything so it's just kind of having a lot of experiences and then sort of trying to do your best in that. And hopefully with a good pastor or a mentor, priest, and even maybe in a fraternal group or something like that, to also kind of do a little theological reflection on sort of what you're experiencing and learning. It's an opportunity to sort of consolidate the stuff we've been talking about. So it's one thing to kind of talk in formation about, you know, it's really important to have an orderly schedule, and you got to keep your prayer life up, and you need to make time for exercise. And it's easy to say all those things, and then when you get sort of thrown out there, and, you know, the seminary is a pretty structured environment, and things are pretty regular. You know, you kind of know week to week when class is and when prayer is, and, you know, everything kind of, it's pretty ordered. And then suddenly you're in a parish, and there's, you know, an emergency anointing in the middle of the night, and there's 2 funerals on the same day and a wedding. And, you know, and suddenly everything just gets, so it can take kind of a lot to sort of keep and maintain your own sort of internal peace and order. And that's so important, because in all those moments, you have to be present, fully present to the faithful. But as you're being present to them, you need to be in tune with the Lord. You need to be in communion with the Father. Otherwise, you're not really going to be the priest to them, right? People need a priest who can lead them in those crisis moments and difficult moments to God. And so it just, all of that, and it's hard, you know. I think it's hard for any priest, but I think a young priest especially, it's more work maybe to get the homilies ready. It's more work to get the talks ready. Everything just takes a lot of time and energy, and it can be a little bit overwhelming at times. And sometimes we find young priests just really kind of struggle. And again, that's nothing that they're bad. It just means that there's a bit of a learning curve, and so you need to talk through that with somebody, or maybe take a step back, make sure you're getting your time in for prayer and a day off and a vacation occasionally. You know, these things are important kind of for our own health and well-being, and it just takes a little bit. Mm-hmm. But over time, it gets a little bit easier, and then new challenges come as you move through priesthood, you know, new opportunities to lead, opportunities to become a pastor, to serve the church in other ways. But all these experiences, they all build on one another, and I think that all kind of helps just really prepare men for whatever the Lord is going to invite them to do throughout their years of service.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to be praying for these newly ordained, and I'm sure that my listeners will join in doing that as well. And just a final question for you, Father, as before we let you go, is that just personally, what have you learned, or what's happened in your own faith life as you've transitioned from college ministry and now into being a seminary rector?
Gosh, so what's happened in my own life? Is that the...
Yeah.
You know, gosh, that's a great question. It's a wonderful opportunity, you know. I find myself being edified, especially by spending time with the men. In some sense, it's not all that different. It is different, but there's that same kind of youthful zeal and energy and enthusiasm, which I love, and I love spending time with that, and I love being able to, you know, in my own way, maybe kind of direct a little bit and channel some of that, and maybe help the men to become even better, you know, with good feedback and just kind of fatherly support and care for them and encouragement. There's a lot of this job, too, which kind of taps into other things I've done over the years in terms of administration. And so, you know, sometimes you have to sort of do a lot of that stuff, which isn't as fun, but again, which keep before you, is I do all of this because in the end, we're going to have holy, faithful priests who can change the world, you know? Mm-hmm. So if a few of us have to work behind the scenes to kind of keep all the machinery moving so that in the end, in a couple of weeks, you know, we can be at the cathedral and ordain these men for a lifetime of service, it's worth it, you know? And so it's really a great privilege, even to work in the ways behind the scenes, because you know that it's essential work and arguably, you know, one of the most important things we do in the church. Without priests, we won't have sacraments, and, you know, we know that that's the ordinary means of salvation. So we're really talking about saving the world, mm-hmm. in a certain sense, by this work.
Right.
And, wow, just what a great honor to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, Father Joseph Taphorn, Rector and Vice President of the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing there at the seminary, and we look forward to celebrating with you as these men get ordained. Just before you go, can you give us a quick blessing, Father?
I'd be honored to. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you again for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
All right. God bless you.
God bless Bye. You. All right. So we are just shortly going to head into a break. But when we come back, I spent some time over at the St. Paul Seminary with Deacons Joseph Gifford, Andrew Zipp, Joseph Connolly, Louis Floater, and Deacon Seraphim. That's what's going to be up next. You don't want to miss it. You want to stick around after this break. It's going to be great. Stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Today I can see. Oh, today I can see. My, for the very first time.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, and I have the privilege of sitting down with Deacon Joseph Gifford and Deacon Andrew Zipp, our first two interviewees here on, as we're talking to the incoming ordinands and looking forward to ordination. Deacon Joseph Gifford, we'll start with you. You are a transitional deacon at, in your teaching parish is St. John Newman. Your past teaching parish was here at the University of St. Thomas, and you come from a strong Catholic family in Ham Lake, one of four boys, and your hobbies include kickboxing. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
How long have you been doing that?
Since Theology 1, so about 4 years now.
Wow. All right. So you're going to kick some... Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get on from that. All right. Very good. And so Deacon Andrew Zipp, you are assigned to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Hastings, formerly at Holy Family in St. Louis Park. And you are an Eagle Scout, the oldest of seven kids, with the youngest being 7 years old. And you like doing woodworking. Is that right?
Yeah. I love doing woodworking, making tables and stuff like that.
Wonderful. All right. So my first question to the two of you, and Deacon Gifford, we'll start with you. All right. So I'm giving you fair warning, your heads up. So who's someone in your life that's had a significant influence on your vocation?
I would say that Father Tim Nolan, who is my pastor up until I was about, I don't know, sixth, seventh grade, something like that. He's had a great influence on my life, especially the way that he ran the parish up in Ham Lake. Up there, he really... I don't know. He set out a very firm ideal in my mind through just growing up in that parish, whether it's through establishing St. Paul's as a stewardship parish or establishing family formation as a great means of catechesis for not just children, but the family overall.
Very good. All right, Deacon Zipp, how about you?
I'd have to say Father Michael Becker. He was my pastor growing up and just an incredible priest and role model, as well as the now Father Paul Shevlin. I grew up with him, and he babysat me once or twice as a kid, and just a wonderful holy man. Both of these priests were great influences on me.
Okay, very good. And we'll start with you this time, Deacon Zipp. We'll ask, when did you first start to sense that the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood?
Yeah, the first time I sort of started to feel the call was just after my freshman year in high school. I was at Extreme Faith Camp serving on a prayer team. So I spent the week of Extreme Faith Camp in adoration, praying for the campers and for the leaders. And it was there that all of a sudden the Lord placed on my heart this desire for the priesthood. And I was like, what? So yeah, that's when it all started, it was freshman year.
All right, very good. Deacon Gifford, how about you?
I had many... times in high school that I could feel the Lord working in my heart, really kind of nudging me towards the priesthood. But I really didn't take it seriously until a couple years into college. And then through discernment with my pastor, Father Vanderplug at the time, then I really started to take that seriously and ended up, after graduating from college, joining the seminary.
All right, very good. All right, Deacon Gifford, we're pitching this next one right back at you. What person, living or passed away, would be the most surprised that you're going to be ordained a priest later this month?
Oh, wow. let's see. I would probably have to say my paternal grandparents. They both passed away. And they're strong Christians, but Catholic wasn't really their thing. And so they never really thought about it. And then when my dad became Catholic, that was kind of their first exposure to it. And so now that I'm becoming a priest, I'm sure that'd be quite surprising to them.
Very good. All right. Deacon Zipp, how about you?
Man, that's a really tough one. It's hard to imagine someone in my life who might be surprised besides like friends from high school, but I think my great-grandfather, who passed away when I was young, I think he would be one who'd just be thrilled to see that one of his great-grandchildren is becoming a priest.
All right, so you're anticipating my next question here, that's all right. I'll pitch it to you anyway. But the question was, who other than yourself do you think is among the happiest for you? Is that the same answer?
No. I think besides myself, it would probably be my parents. My mom and dad are so happy for me and so proud of me, as well as one of my brothers. I mean, I'm sure they're all pretty proud of me, but one of them at Thanksgiving just expressed his how happy he was for me and so proud he was to have a brother who was going to be a priest.
Mm.
Very nice. Deacon Gifford, how about you?
I'd have to say the same. My family would, they've been very supportive, and they're so excited now that I'm going to become a priest. And yeah, they've been really, really just helpful, and especially with their prayers and all of their just excitement around the whole situation. So.
Yeah, very good. All right, now, guys, this is going to be a tough question. I mean, I guess I've pitched you a couple of surprises already, but I just want to know if you can describe, if you can put into words, as ordination is drawing pretty near now, what you're feeling. What are you thinking? What's going on internally? Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. So, all right, Deacon Gifford, we'll start with you.
The first word that comes to mind is terrifying. But in a good way. It's just it's going to be a big life change for me. And so entering into that, just excited, but there's so many unknowns that are coming up that, I don't know, it'll be fun. It'll be good.
All right, Deacon Zip, how about you?
Right now, I'd have to say thrilled. I'm super excited to enter into the life of the priest and to share. My thing is right now, I just can't wait to be that instrument or that vessel by which people are able to encounter the loving mercy of God. And I'm just so excited to be there to share that with others. And yeah, I can't wait.
That's good. That's very, very good. I'm glad to hear that. And then just reflecting, so that's looking ahead, but reflecting over the course of these last years here at the St. Paul Seminary, what do you think you're going to carry with you from here into your priesthood that's going to be, I know it'd be hard to narrow down, but can you think of some things that you will really be, you'll carry into your priesthood as well?
I think one of the things I'm going to carry into the priesthood has just been the joy that comes from being with brothers and being with the people of God. That's what makes it easy to get up in the morning, is having that joy that comes from the Lord, and to experience that and share that with others. Yeah.
Okay. Deacon Gifford, how about you?
I'd have to say, again, the same thing, just especially that zeal for souls that really is imbibed here in the seminary, that every man learns to how he really is being called by God to be that instrument. And yeah, so that zeal for souls, that's the main thing for me.
Mm. All right. And anybody in particular that you'd like to give a shout out to, or a thank you to, the people that have formed you and helped you become the man that you are today?
Yeah. Honestly, Father Carl, Father Scott Carl, he's been my formator for several years. He's just a great man, very joyful, and he's helped me through a lot.
Okay. Very good. Deacon Zip?
Yeah. I mean, I can't thank the Lord enough for the graces that he's continued to pour out upon me, but also the formators I've had, you know, the now Bishop Juan Miguel Betancourt, Father John Bauer, and all the other priests who've been in my life.
All right. Wonderful. Well, we look forward to seeing more of you, of course, around the Archdiocese. And as your placements are revealed, that's going to be an exciting time as well. And I'm hopeful that you can come and pay us a visit in studio at the Rediscover Hour at some point. But until then, gentlemen, thank you so much for your yes. And we pray that everything will go smoothly through ordination. And we look forward to seeing more of you.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, your prayers are so greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to transition now to our next two ordinands who we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking with Deacon Joseph Connolly.
Hello.
Yes, and Deacon Louis Floater, who are with us. And Deacon Floater, I'll start with you. Who's someone in your life that had a significant impact on your vocation?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I don't know if a single person comes to mind, but definitely my family unit in general. The faith was something taken very seriously in my house. You know, I'm the second of 10 kids, and I'm very fortunate to have an uncle who's a priest. So I remember him growing up. He showed me that the priesthood is something for human beings, right? Oftentimes we can think that priests are extraordinary, like Superman, but he showed me that the priesthood is definitely for flesh and blood human beings. And that was very important for me to see that it's something attainable. So I'm grateful to him and to my mother and father. And yeah, all the formation that I've had through them.
Wonderful. All right, Deacon Connolly, are you going to tell us that actually you're out to prove that the priest is for Superman?
Yeah, I think I prove that point regularly, that the priesthood is for supermen. But in all honesty, I would say that one of the things you realize is coming through seminary is the opportunity for growth and just the patience that God has for his seminarians as they grow every day in the priesthood. And the fact that formation doesn't stop the day I get ordained, but hopefully even well into my priesthood, I'm still growing in virtue, still learning about the spiritual life, and still growing in my love for God every single day.
Very good. Very nice. All right, we'll make you our first respondee this time, Deacon Connolly. So when did you first start to sense that the Lord might just be tapping you on the shoulder, nudging you towards the priesthood?
Well, I guess when I was a little kid, you know, we went to Mass every Sunday, without exception. Every Sunday you went to Mass. And I think like a lot of young Catholic boys, I thought about the priesthood when I was a kid. But again, we were just a Sunday Mass-attending family. So really the only opportunity I got to see the priest was at Mass. So I remember being drawn to that, drawn to the Mass, and thinking about the priesthood. But then there was a part of me, too, that was the only experience I had with the priests, was at Mass. So there was a lot of mystery about what exactly a priest does and how a priest kind of spends his life outside of the sacraments. You know, we never really have the priests over for dinner or anything. We weren't that kind of family. But yeah, I remember as a young age, there was something about seeing the priest at the altar, you know, celebrating the Mass or going to confession even as a little kid. I remember being drawn to that. And I think that was when I first started.
Very good. How about you, Deacon Floater?
So there's, I guess, kind of two different times. The first that I can remember is during middle school, you know, just a kid thinking about what to do when you grow up. And the priesthood was an option, right, seen by my uncle. But what's crazy is that my mom pulled out later for my high school graduation party an assignment that I had done in first grade that I had no recollection of. And it was a sort of like a star of the week. And he has the favorite color, you know, favorite movie, a little picture of the star of the week. And then what do you want to be when you grow up? And for my first grade assignment, star of the week, I said that I wanted to be a priest. So that was shocking news to me during my high school graduation party.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's good. It's always nice to be reminded that, yeah, we might be on the right track even when we're in first grade, right? Well, very good. Father Floater, over to you again. What person living or passed away would be most surprised that you are being ordained a priest?
Well, I'm very grateful to have, you know, all of my grandparents still living. And most of my family. So hopefully they wouldn't be surprised at me being a priest. You know, the only person I can think of right now is Our Lady, but she's not surprised because she was the one who's been helping me this whole time. I just think of her smiling down at her little Louis, you know, finally here, finally made it to the priesthood. So I don't know if she's surprised or she's relieved that she doesn't have to take care of me as a seminarian anymore.
What, are you kidding me? Now she has to take care of you as a priest.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. All right, Deacon Connolly, same question to you. What person living or dead would be most surprised that you're being ordained?
That's an easy one. I think the people, hopefully most of them are still living, that would be surprised would be the entire faculty at Burnsville High School. I think all of them would be incredibly surprised at me being ordained a priest, which just shows the power of God's graces in all of our lives.
Amen. Pretty straightforward. I like it. Very good. All right. So a little bit different take on that same question. Who, other than yourself, of course, do you think is happiest for you at this time of ordination?
Oh, I would say, obviously, you got to have the family, especially my mom, my brother Tom, Jack, Mike, all the brothers and sisters. I think they're just as excited as I am to see me up there getting ordained. So, and they're very excited and happy for me. So I would definitely say them.
Deacon Floater?
You know, my parents are certainly happy, as are my brothers and sisters, but no one can match my grandparents, both sets. You know, they've been looking forward to this day probably more than I have. They're very proud. They're very proud, and I'm very grateful for the way that they've, you know, continued to demonstrate that to me, even since the earliest days of entering seminary. So definitely the grandparents.
Love it. Okay. So let me ask you this. So I know we're only a couple weeks out now. So what's it feel like as you're getting so close to ordination? Is there a way you can describe the feeling? Is it nervousness? Is it joy? Is it kind of a combination of a bunch of different things? Well, how would you describe it?
You know, for the ordination to the diaconate, I kind of felt prepared. I feel prepared now, but the day of the ordination, it felt like the ordination was like a slow-moving glacier that has been in the distance for so many years, but now it's right in my face, pushing me against the wall. You know, there's no escape. And I'm sure that the ordination to the priesthood will feel the same. It's something that's been on my radar. It's been on the horizon for so many years. But to have it kind of inch gradually closer and closer until it's right there, I'm sure that's going to be the experience. But right now, it's just an excitement, really. I'm excited and I'm well prepared, I feel, through the formation here at the St. Paul Seminary and the St. John Vianney College Seminary. So just ready to go.
All right, Deacon Connolly.
Oh, it's mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, I am just so excited for ordination. Yeah, it's full of joy. And, you know, obviously there's kind of a nervousness involved because you have the whole mystery of your priesthood unraveling in the future. You know, this kind of what's going to be happening before me, the people I meet, the parishes I'm at. But I would say joy right now with a healthy love of the Lord and knowing that He'll take care of me in the priesthood, especially His mother.
Wonderful. And taking good care of you both, I'm sure they will. The Lord and his mother will be taking care of you both. I thank you so much for your time, for being with us here on the Rediscover Hour. And we are definitely praying for you. And we would be happy to see you getting the hands laid on you and becoming priests in the kingdom of God on May the 25th. So God bless you both.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to head into a break, but when we come back, we've got Deacon Seraphim, who's also being ordained as an order priest here in the Archdiocese. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
You are stillness. You are quiet. You are comfort and peace.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Connolly with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio studios, 1330 AM in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now is Deacon Seraphim, who's actually he will be an order priest with the Franciscan Brothers of Peace, which he entered in 2007. He is currently the vicar of the community and the vocations director. He has two brothers and one sister. He grew up in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, and he likes to fish and golf when he can, and also likes to play ping pong and billiards. So tell me, how long have you been into billiards, Deacon?
It's been about 4 years since my time at the seminary. It's been a good way for us to recreate as brothers.
Wonderful. I like to add it. When I was in Anglican seminary, we used to play snooker a lot, is related, yeah. But anyway. Okay. So first question, who is someone in your life who's had a significant impact on your vocation?
I would say my grandmother. And it kind of, into my vocation and kind of how I discovered my vocation was there was a time when my grandmother was pretty ill. And I was going to the University of Minnesota Medical, working at the University of Minnesota Medical Center, and I would go visit my grandmother in the nursing home. And whenever I would walk into her apartment, it'd be filled with everything Catholic, and the TV would be on Relevant Radio with a rosary blasting, and it was kind of during that time that I started to hear this kind of call, and I shared that with my grandmother. She was one of the first ones I shared it with, and she's kind of the one that encouraged me to go speak to somebody about it.
All right. So that's when you first started to sense that the Lord was calling you to the priesthood as well. Is that right?
Correct. I mean, I look back on my life, you know, in the younger years, I can see how people influenced me when I was, I went to Sacred Heart School in Stock Rapids and served as an altar server there. But I would say that, it was kind of the in-between college and working there, and just kind of at that period in my life, just kind of rediscovering my vocation.
Very good. Thanks for throwing that in there. That was great. Rediscover. Very nice. Okay, so clear up for us a little bit about what it means to be an order priest. Are you still, as part of the Franciscan Brothers of Peace, are you still under Archbishop Hebda, or will you be under your superiors in the order? He said it's a long answer. All right. Well, maybe you can just give us the highlights.
Okay. Well, our community, the Franciscan Brothers of Peace, was founded in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, I think around 36 years ago. Archbishop Roach is the one that gave us our canonical status. And we're considered like a community of diocesan rite. So we have our own internal government structure, but we're still under the Archbishop, as the Archbishop Hebda here, as kind of like the major superior. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we still have our internal superiors. That's just a status of a community that's growing within the church. When your numbers become a certain extent, your numbers become large enough, you can apply for a different status, which is called pontifical status, and then you're under some kind of office in Rome, but still always in cooperation with your diocese where you are and where you're working. So in many ways, kind of the same. You still always have to work with the local church.
All right. Well, that makes sense. That was easy. That wasn't that long. That was, very straightforward. All right. Next question is, what person, either living or passed away, do you think would be most surprised that you are being ordained a priest, that you're becoming a priest?
No idea.
Really? Do you think everybody kind of knew that this was your path?
I don't know. I never even thought about it. Probably, I mean, the most living person is probably myself, and I'm surprised.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that actually anticipates my next question, which is, who other than yourself do you think would be happiest about your ordination?
I would say my mother and father, because they're always, with all their kids, they're very supportive. They want us to always follow God in our life. And it's when I first told them about it, you know, it's the first time it was ever mentioned in the family. You know, I think I'm the first one. There might be some distant cousins who are in religious life or priesthood, but they're just happy that I'm following God's call in my life. You know, they're simple that way. And they're happy I'm doing it, and they're going to support, you know, as long as I'm following God.
Well, that's probably a good thing. That's right. That's a good trait. So I'm also interested in your religious name, Seraphim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us about how you came to come about that name.
Sure. So what's kind of a little bit different about priests and brothers in religious communities, where instead of like diocesan priests, these other priest brothers that I'll be ordained with, that is that when we enter the novitiate, we choose a new name. And that new name is kind of, it's a way to kind of like another baptism, as you would. You're entering into something new. You're committing your life to God in a more deep way. So it's a tradition that phased out in many religious communities, but ours, we brought it back. So you could choose three names, and then the superior would choose the one that that he thought. You know, it's in dialogues. You're not gonna just give him some kind of name that you don't want.
Right.
And Seraphim, I always wanted to, my birth name is Michael. I was baptized Michael. So I always wanted to stay close to the angels, but I was also always really drawn to the stigmata of Saint Francis and how he received the stigmata from the Seraphim. And there was also a Saint Seraphim who was a Franciscan that I felt close to too. So yeah, it's difficult to say because I brought it to a lot of prayer, and it kind of developed over time, like the kind of the why God chose that for me. And even within my seminary studies, one of my spiritual director actually was a Stigmatine father. So it was kind of like there was a kind of a connection there. We kind of shared the same feast day because they share that, they celebrate, the Stigmatines celebrate, Father Hoppo was going to give him a shout out. The Stigmatines celebrate the stigmata of St. Francis too.
All right, wonderful. I like that as well. So now we're getting close on to ordination here, and just wondering if you can put into words, I've asked the other guys this too, just so you know, I'm not putting you on the spot in a way that I didn't put them on the spot, but just wondering if you can describe what the feeling is like as you're getting close on to ordination, and especially, I guess, as a religious brother too, I would ask, is it similar or is it different from when you were coming up on taking your final vows too?
Well, my whole journey for priesthood within the religious community is new, because I'll be the first one ordained in the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. So everything I did has been new. So every step of the way, it's been like a different feeling. And through that, I learned really to trust in God. And, and my job will be, I will be incarnate into this diocese, but I will really help out with kind of our ministries that we do. You know, we'll have a priest that's going to serve that and just help out in the diocese too. We're always working together. A feeling I have, I would say that it's a little kind of scary, that it's a big responsibility. And, just something new, it's like the seminary prepares you well for it. You go through everything and you just kind of, just with my whole vocation, I'm just kind of trusting in God that he'll provide that grace, every step of the way. Because really, I don't know. I mean, with the diocesan priest, they know like what's it going to be like. I don't really know. I have an idea. I'm going to be working with people like I always worked before. But, I have the community aspect that's mixed in and all my different roles. I would just have to be patient with myself and ask people to be patient with me.
That's wonderful. Well, Deacon Seraphim, we're looking forward to the grand day when you are all ordained to the mm-hmm. sacred priesthood. And we're grateful for your yes, and we're grateful for your service. And particularly since you are the first religious priest in the Francis' Brother of Peace, mm-hmm. Brothers of Peace, we're looking forward to seeing how your ministry unfolds. So God bless you, and our prayers are with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We're going to head into our final break, but as we do so, please do pray for these men that we've heard from today. Keep them in your prayers, and do attend the ordination. That's Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, the 25th of May, starting at 10 a.m., but you might want to get there early for parking and seating, but in the glorious Cathedral of St. Paul, we'll hope to see you there.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year, and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Tear away the ties that bind you. Roll away the stone that hides you. Leave all sin and death behind you. See the Lord through eyes of faith.
Paul is jamming out. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour.
I love that song.
Oh, it is. It's a good one.
And happy 39.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
It's a milestone. We never thought you'd make it.
Yeah, well, 39 plus a few. All right. Hey, I should mention that if you've enjoyed the show today, if you enjoy listening to Rediscover Hour, it has been Pledge Drive Week here on Relevant Radio. Give them a call. There's still people willing to take your call there at 877-291-0123. 877-291-0123. And here's Paul with some things going on.
Father Spencer Howe, for the second straight year, will be opening one of the campuses of his Holy Cross Parish in Northeast to a group of Catholic artists, Faithful Art Guild, for their Faithful Art Show during the Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association annual Art a Whirl event. This year, there will be close to 20 Catholic artists in the basement of St. Clement, May 17th through 19th. Beyond the visual artists, there will be other activities, including tours of St. Clement Church, food trucks, concerts, and more. For more information, search Faithful Art at St. Clement on Facebook.
And here's the info about the ordination again. Saturday, May 25th, 10 a.m., Cathedral of St. Paul. Join us for the special event where archdiocesan fourth-year seminarians will be ordained as priests. On this joyful occasion, the public is invited to participate in the ordination rites of these men for priestly ministry and receive a blessing from our new priests. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org. You're also welcome to join in a holy hour for priesthood ordinandi on Friday, May 24th from 5 to 6 p.m. at the St. Paul Seminary. That's again Friday, May 24th, 5 to 6 at the St. Paul Seminary. Pray with and for Deacons Joseph Connolly, Louis Floater, Joseph Gifford, and Andrew Zipp, and Deacon Seraphim as they prepare for ordination to the priesthood on May 25th.
Join the staff of St. Paul Street Evangelization Saturday, July 13th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center. Learn how to evangelize in your everyday life in easy and fun ways. This basic evangelization training includes presentations, small group discussion practice, role-playing, and more. Cost is $25 per person. That includes the full-day workshop, all materials, and a light lunch. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org. and register today.
And grandparents, we always have something going on for you. Save the date Saturday, August 24th, the date of the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference will take place again Saturday, August 24th, between 8:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The conference will include keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, as well as Father Joseph Bamanek, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. We also have an hour of adoration led by Bishop Andrew Cousins and more. Find more details and register at www.catholicgrandparenting.org.
And a shout out to all First Communion people.
Yeah, that's right.
My grandson Jude makes his First Communion this Sunday morning.
Congratulations, Jude. Proud of you. Excellent. My nephew, Avery, made his First Communion last weekend.
What's up next week?
All right. Well, in addition to all the First Communions coming up, graduation, Pentecost, and art are all coming up to the next Rediscover Hour. Seniors Bella Masha and Sarah Pugnota will talk about their last year at Visitation School. SPO Music Coordinator Abe Gross is going to tell us about the upcoming Archdiocesan Pentecost Mass. And Father Spencer Howe, who we just heard about, will tell us about a unique outreach to the artist community going on at St. Clement's during Art a Whirl. That is what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. It's been great to be with you. Until next time, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.